Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I ask, Lord, that you would just continue to work in this place right now, Lord. As the preaching of the word goes forth out, Lord, the message you've laid on my heart, Lord, I can't do this on my own. Each week I seek you, Lord, and what you have for this church body. I ask for an anointing of the Holy Spirit to speak through me, Lord, that your word would go forth out and it would cut to the heart, cut out the fat, purge out the dross, that you would polish us, Lord, that we would be a reflection of you, that we would live our lives as a reflection of you, Lord, and the work you've done in us. Open the hearts and the ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Into the pressure cooker, part 6. Don't buy the lie in the wilderness is the title. Luke 4:1 says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. We are living in interesting times, are we not? I'd say perilous times, crazy times, exciting times for the Christian. And it's that of, okay, Lord, what's next? What's next? Because we're watching with eyes wide open. In Hebrews 12, 25 through 29, it says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on the earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, and now he is promised, saying what? Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. That's what we want. Lord, shake us, shake this world, shake it, so that only the things that remain are in you. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, what a promise, which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which, that's what? Grace is God's empowering presence for us to do and be what we cannot do and be on our own, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence, because he's the King of all kings, and godly fear, a reverential fear that he is in control of all things. For our God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. The Spirit is saying, don't listen to any other voice other than God's. What the Spirit is speaking, to keep your focus on him in these times. There's plenty of other voices. The voices of this world are vying for our attention. And the world system and Satan definitely wants to deceive us. The world system works against the Christian. It tries to usurp God's plans. And Satan is the god of this world. And he is a thief, and he is a murderer, and he's the father of lies, and he's a deceiver, and he's a deluder. And he works overtly and blatantly in the wickedness of this world, which is very present, and covertly through the world's systems, the governments, the principalities, and the false religions of this world, because they're all under his power. He is the prince of the power of the air, and he can appear as an angel of light as needed, and he can be as vile and wicked as it definitely suits him. We must know of his schemes. We must know that he is stalking us like a lion, seeking whom he may devour, stalking his prey, and he uses temptations, he uses accusations, and he uses deception. That's his MO. Yet our God uses truth that sets us free. So we must not give him an advantage, right? Because the majority of this world is falling under deception. They have followed the ways of man, and wide is the way to destruction, and narrow is the way to heaven, and few there be that find it. The reality is we are bombarded every day with bad reports, and the enemy wants to create a stronghold in our mind. The world wants to capture your attention, to shift your focus from Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, of our faith. He's also the perfecter, is another description of that in other versions of the Bible. But shift to the world, which is that of decay and all things that will perish. But that's where our focus, that's what the world wants. And many in this room are in battles. Many are in trials. There's stories going on with every single one of you. Some may be on the mountaintop experience right now. Others are in the valley. The pressure is going to intensify as we see what God's word coming to life off the pages of this Bible before our very eyes. Because it's all coming together and it's all converging. And Jesus said these things must happen. They must happen. Okay? So what we must do is we must guard our ears, turn off the garbage, the lies, the deception, trying to create the fortress in our mind. It's like the garden, right? Surely you won't die. He's a liar. He is a liar. And it's empty promise after empty promise. That's what he gives. Including many leaders of this world who are of their father, the devil. You need to take everything that is said and compare it to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? Test it against the Word. Does what being said, including from this pulpit, line up with the Word of God? Because if you know the Word and you hear something that's off, it should unsettle your inner man. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because recent events indicate that the world is quickly absorbing darkness. And it's devastating many individuals and churches who have not been prepared to stand fast. Many are succumbing to the pressures of growing evil, being forced on them from all sides. And there's an overwhelming sense to just go along with the currents of the world so we can all just get along. There is not going to be peace on this earth until Christ is ruling and reigning. Do you understand? In fact, the opposite of peace will occur prior to that. Matthew 24, read Revelation 6 through 19. The truth is, evil is now so blatant and it cannot be avoided no matter where you go or what you do. The darkness of the day and its evil is ramping up, and its goal is suppression of truth, suppression of righteousness, along with the destruction of countless souls. And uncertainty can loom. What comes next for many becomes honestly a nerve-wracking guessing game. A seemingly powerful deception and delusion mesmerizes the multitudes. It's like a mirage, and many are confused, and they're frightened, and they're petrified, and they're angry. Some are even suicidal, and this is the snapshot of a lot of present-day people. Do you understand? Because they have no hope. Not you. Not you, beloved. But these folks are easily conned by the father of lies. Do you understand? The threats and the narratives which are spit out with half-truths cause many to shake enough to make them want to bury their heads in the sand. When the onslaught of the enemy is going to be unrelenting, it's just going to continue, and it's going to continue. It's going to continue to press. The pressure is going to continue. And because many haven't studied the word and they're not relying on it, they can't have a rebuttal because their foundation is on sand. Even when they hear the lie, there's no rebuttal, so they just kind of go along with it. They will accept their fate as if it's sealed. We see the delusion in some of the people, including very close ones to me, and I just shake my head going like, they're so blind. It's because they don't know or they don't want to acknowledge, and they're not relying on the Word of God. Because the Word of God says in Hebrews 4:12, it's living and powerful. It's all powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Any weapon, it's sharper than that. And it pierces to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and it's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when you speak it and you share the truth to someone, it shows the intents of their heart because they don't want to accept it. just like John says, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The light is coming to the world. They would rather love their deeds. Deep down, that is the truth. And the time that is coming on this earth, worldly wisdom is not going to do it. Nor will material wealth. As we see economic transitions coming, economic destruction possibly on the horizon as well. And the devil has no problem with the crowd that falls prey to the narrative. You understand? He enjoys every bit of it. When the helpless ones take the lies for the truth. But he does take issue. He does take issue with the remnant. The remnant that clings and holds fast to the word of God. Who can see through the smoke screens. The people that put their trust in the living word know something, and we know something which the masses have missed. We know how the story plays out. We know the signs of the times. We know how the story ends, and we know who has the victory. Amen? Amen. This godly knowledge and understanding is not restricted to the remnant alone. It is available to all who ask, all who seek, all who knock, and they will find it. And the remnant and the watchmen are on the offensive right now, trying to move scales from people's eyes to the truth of the world in which we are living it. Trying to set those free as a vessel fit for the master's use. And Satan hates it when lies are exposed. And the living word is the roadmap. You understand? This Bible is our roadmap for the path ahead. It's a source of power. A power to stand when the storms come. It's on a rock. Who's the living word of God? It's Jesus. It grounds us and it keeps us focused on the blessed hope. Because the enemy knows his time is getting short. And the remnant believer is able to see through the thickest fog of deception. And we are equipped. Don't buy the lie that you are not equipped to teach others, to disciple others. It's not by our own might, but it's by the power of the Lord. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit who leads us in all truth. We need to get a hold of this. You understand? You need to get a hold of the word, because Amos said that there would be a famine of the word of God. We need to get this truth inside us. You need to study this Bible. And now, no delay, because this movement towards AI and apps like Google Bard and ChatGPT can be used to twist truth. You understand? Think about how definitions have changed recently. You don't think they have the capability of twisting the truth and changing even scripture? Even certain translations leave certain things out of the Bible. And those who will rely on these apps and things and artificial intelligence are opening themselves up for great deception. That's why you need to study your Bible. And you say, that one sounds different. I mean, one of the churches is talking about removing a gender identity of God out of the Bible. I mean, making him gender neutral. Are you kidding me? Listen, if Satan is a counterfeit, is he not? He's a counterfeit. If he's a counterfeit of God and God is omniscient, how else can Satan try to replicate being omniscient? He needs the technology to do so. He will need the Antichrist. The Antichrist will need that ability as well. Along with lying signs and wonders to deceive the masses to an eternal hell. His goal will be to create the strongholds in the mind. And that's why the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Think about Romans 1. We're the anti-Romans 1. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And listen, even for many of you online, you may feel like you're in no man's land. You may feel like you're stuck in that wilderness right now. The wilderness in Greek is eremos, which is a solitary, it's lonely, desolate desert. It's an uncultivated region, not fit for pasturage. It's deprived of the aid and protection of others, especially of friends, acquaintances, and kindred. That's the definition of the wilderness and desert. So you think about that. I'm deprived of those who I need around me, yet I am reminded, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You think you need your family and friends around you, and the reality is, you only need God. You need to know how to win the victory and understand the purpose of the wilderness, the purpose of the trial you're in. When we are pressed on all sides, we need His strength, not ours. We need to be looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He was tempted in three areas to buy the lie in the wilderness, and we too are tempted with the same. So if you turn to Luke 4, that's where we're going to be. It says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, underline that, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And that's where the enemy comes first. He comes to have us take control, like we need to be the source, or someone else needs to be the source of our provision. Yet our source of provision comes from God alone. God promises to supply our needs, not our wants, our needs. Look at Exodus 16 in the wilderness. He would rain down manna, and they did want some meat, and then he actually did provide them. He gave them the quail, right? But like, I'm sure they would like a whole selection of menu, but no, he gave them enough to sustain. Give us this day our daily bread is what the Lord's prayer is. Isn't that an example of what he did? Daily, they would try to hoard some, and it would turn in with maggot-infested manna. The only day which was allowed to was the day before the Sabbath, because they were supposed to rest and they couldn't go out trying to get manna. Yet they disobeyed that. The first day the Sabbath came and they didn't keep it, and they're going out looking at it. He's like, Lord's like, how long are these people going to disobey me? Matthew 6, 25 through 33. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying, I was thinking about Dennis when I was reading this, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Jesus spoke back the word. He was seeking the Father's will. This is not the best life now, folks. We need to get a hold of this passage and trust in the Lord for the time that's coming on this earth. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need. Now again, not wants, all your needs according to his riches and glory, right? In Christ, by Christ Jesus. So he's our source of provision. You understand? He is our provision. Then the devil, taking him up high on the mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. Who gave it to him? Adam. And he had the dominion, right? And then he just handed it over, right? And I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." So that's the next attack, is our authority. It's our authority. Jesus' authority was rooted in doing only the Father's will. He didn't use fleshly authority to give God glory. He relied on the Spirit who is equipped with. And that is the lie that the enemy gives. He says, "I'm going to give you the authority." Right? Think about what the temptation was in the garden, that you will be as God. It was a partial truth. The kingdoms of this world were his to give, but we know that would have been a shortcut. That would have been a wide path. That is the lie. Worship Satan, get the glory of this world now. You're not going to bring God glory on the path you're currently on. The Lord's path took him to the cross, and then beyond that, the nations will be his footstool. You understand? See, it's easy for Satan to lie to you, saying, "Hey, you know what? You're in the wilderness right now. No one sees you. Take the shortcut. Take the easy path, easy street. Don't go the path that leads to the Red Sea, where then you have to fully trust in the Lord. Go the other way. In fact, go back to Egypt. There's plenty of meat for our stew. Think Esau." The truth is, God promises us by his power, divine power and authority, as vessels of honor fit for the master's use, right? By what? By the power of the Holy Spirit. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the end of the earth." This is that, right? This is that, what the prophets have foretold. And that is coming out, it's living out now. That power is inside us, the Ruach HaKodesh, the counselor, the breath of Almighty, the teacher, the comforter, the helper, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of truth, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, an intercessor, the spirit of the living God is inside you. He's a convictor of sin. He's our seal. He's our fire. He's the revealer, and he's the spirit of glory. Hallelujah. He is the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, and he resides inside you and I. Power, folks. Power. Wonder-working power. And it's not of us. All he wants is a humble servant to be open to be used. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's like so against how the world would respond to things. You understand, like, when you're in the trial, your flesh just wants to, like, lash out. There's many times when I feel like I just want to cut somebody to pieces. I am definitely not walking in the Spirit when I'm doing that. Yet there's this other fruit that comes out. That's like bad fruit. And then when we walk in the Spirit, there's this like, wow, that's so like different. How are you able to respond that way? It's not me. That's the Holy Spirit inside me. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. He's the equipper, folks. And that is part of the lie, that you're not equipped. You are equipped. You are equipped. Luke 12, 11 through 12. "Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." There's so many times I hear from people, it's like, I read my Bible and I'm not getting it. You know, it's like, you know, I'm reading like multiple chapters and I'm trying to digest as much as I can. And I tell them, like, just slow down a little bit. Slow down a little bit. Just stay on one passage. Just stay on one chapter. Just stay on a set of verses and meditate on that. Read it over and over again. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you. You know, Watchman Nee had one passage that he had tied, like rolled up into his tooth with like wax, and he used that one passage to preach in prison in China. Just the one passage. Over and over again. That's the power of God's word. Over and over again. It's not the next fad. You know, there are some preachers who didn't go to seminary that will stay in what they know, which is to give God glory. They preach Jesus Christ crucified. It's not like, you know, all the gimmicks and, hey, here's your 52 messages like a lot of the churches do now. There's pastors who just, they have all 52 weeks already planned out ahead of time for the year. Where's the Holy Spirit in that? Where is it? Sounds like man orchestrated to me. How about like praying and seeking? What does the church need? What does my flock need? Yeah. 1 Peter 4:11 says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do with the ability which God supplies. Does that just affirm what I was just talking about? That in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs what? The glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We walk in the light. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. As darkness is covering the land, our light shines brighter. Because Jesus is the light of the world, and he's inside us. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Christ sent the Holy Spirit to lead us in all truth. So we don't waver. We hold fast to the promises of God. We don't let the enemy rob us of our joy in the Lord. We prepare the way of the Lord. We say, hey, the Lord's coming back. It's very soon. Wake up. Repent. You and I have been chosen for a time like this. God is looking for you to share the truth, the good report. And you are a minority, folks. A remnant, outnumbered, yes, but mighty in the Lord. Mighty in the Lord. How many did Gideon need? 300. The world sees fear. The world sees distress. The world sees no hope. You have it all. You have it all because you are in Christ. Through tribulation in this world, you are an overcomer. You have the promises of eternity, a kingdom that will not fail. Hallelujah. So you have authority. Because he has authority. He has all authority is what the Bible says. Verse 9, Satan comes again. He brings him, brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered, said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And here's the final one he comes at. He tries to compromise your identity. Who are you? See, Jesus understood his identity. And he refused to allow Satan to redefine him. Satan says numerous times throughout this passage, if you are the Son of God, then do this. If you are a son of God, if you are a daughter of God, then do this. He also was trying to undermine God's protection here. He's tempting him, right? The truth is, for you and I, we're in his hand. Mm-hmm. Yep. No man can pluck us from his hand. That's right. You and I are here until he says so. Until our appointed time. Until then, what do? We occupy and redeem our time. You do not allow Satan to define your identity from anyone or anything apart from God. God promises to work to finish the work that he started in us, right? And God promises a new life in us, those who believe Jesus as their Savior. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is Christ, he is a what? New creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Satan wants to identify you as your old past life. No, I'm a new creation. Amen. I'm a child of God. I'm an heir. I'm a citizen of heaven. And I know because of my identity, God has a plan and a purpose for me, for my life, a plan that is good, a plan that is of peace. It's not of evil, right? That's what Jeremiah, Ephesians 2 says, we are his workmanship. He's fashioned something new in us. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for his glory, which God prepared for us, and that we should walk in them. I've been forgiven. You've been forgiven. You've been ransomed. You've been adopted. You've been grafted in. You are loved by God Almighty, and it's unfailing love. And you are victorious because of Christ. 1 John 5, 4 through 5 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Yes. Our faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That's your identity. Your identity is now a bondservant to Jesus. You have a new identity. Not what the world wants to put you, pin on you, put you in a box, 150 different genders or whatever it is. Nope. Look at verse 13. When the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. What do you think about that? That's a reminder that until we are taken out of this world, at the appointed time, either by death or by the rapture, we must know that the enemy is prowling around like a lion. Listen, he's seeking whom he may devour. What does the lion do? He stalks, right? He stalks and waits for that opportune time, studying, looking for the weak one in the herd. You hear what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
That is why you have to dress in the armor of God every day, yeah. Head to toe. Because if you don't put on one of the pieces, guess what's going to happen? He's going to attack you there. The devil is a liar. And the wilderness tests and temptations are very real, folks. They are very real. The enemy wants to tempt you to take control of the situation rather than trust the Lord. The enemy wants you to live for yourself. When you're in that time, the preservation of self, right? To glorify self. It goes back to the garden. It's about self. It's pride. There are no shortcuts out of the wilderness, folks. Your faith is being proven there in the trial. We must rest in his promises. And guess what, folks? All his promises are yes and amen. And the wilderness experience will bring glory to God as others are watching you and seeing how you respond. Are you walking in the flesh or are you walking in the spirit? Because it's all about him. It's all about his kingdom and to bring him glory. Today you need to realize your identity resides in being a son and daughter of God. Your authority resides in you being led by the Holy Spirit. And your provision comes from your heavenly Father. Amen?
Amen.
Upon salvation, that same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave. We see in John 3, as John Baptist is preparing the way, Jesus gets baptized, and guess what? The Holy Spirit comes out and descends upon him. And then it says he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, right in chapter 4. We have to look to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He was equipped, and he shows us how. He is the example we follow through the desert and the wilderness. He was showing us the way through it and how to bring glory to God. He spoke the word. He spoke it. It is written. He's a living word. He's speaking it back. And we all experience these wilderness moments, folks. You're not exempt. For Joseph, a deep pit in the desert was the first stop on 13 years journey through desolation and despair. That 13-year desert experience served to break Joseph's self-will, his self-confidence, and it taught him that he could not control anything and that he needed to rely on God to manage the events in his life. And as that happened, Joseph's desert trial prepared him by, one, it cut out the pride, right, and arrogance of his young life. And then when he was 30 years old, he was able to rule Egypt, being the second in command. And because of his faithfulness and his humility, he was able to preserve generations when the famine hit. Amen? Before becoming king of Israel, David was a shepherd. Part of his training of leadership involved hand-to-hand combat with the beasts of the wilderness, including a lion and a bear. Elijah learned the principles of leadership while in the wilderness of Gilead. And Jesus was tempted and tested for 40 days in the desert before he began his ministry. Some of you I know are in the trial. You are in the wilderness right now. God has given you purpose, but now it seems like your purpose has withered away. It's like died under the scorching desert sun. It seems like God has gone away and is not listening to your prayers. That is the lie. It is a lie. You need to know you still have purpose. Your purpose still lives. God is with you even though you can't see him. He hears you. He sees you. Even though you can't sense his presence, he's preparing you in the wilderness. The wilderness is that barren ground, and that's where doubt can creep in by the enemy. And what God is trying to get you and I to do is to come to the end of ourselves. We understand we've reached the limits. We are beyond our capacity. I can't do anything. I am nothing apart from him, but I have everything in him. Amen. He is the vine. We are the branches. That's the life source for the branch. You have to win the battles now in the wilderness. Your experience now for the bigger battles that are coming. Do you understand? There's a bigger battle coming. There was bigger giants after Goliath. The last brother had 6 fingers and 6 toes on each hand and foot. Just as Jesus showed us, the lie must be targeted and destroyed by the truth of the living word of God. You speak it back. When the enemy says the lie, you speak back the truth. That's why you need to know this. Do not allow the circumstances of the trial to dictate your expression. Allow the Lord to do his work, his refining work, knowing he is producing something far greater than what this world has to offer. Are you ready? Are you ready? I said, are you ready? Because God is preparing. He's prepping his remnant right now. Right now. And when it is time, at the appointed time, you and I are going to come out of the wilderness in power with the hope that is inside us, that others will ask and you can stand and proclaim, I came out of the wilderness, and I couldn't understand it, I trusted that all things work together for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I didn't have to see it. I just had to trust in him, one step at a time. Walking by faith, not by sight. My provision, my authority, my identity is in the great I am. It's in the great I am. And you need to cling to that. Because others are watching you. And that truth that you proclaim might be the truth that just sets them free. Snatching a brand from the fire. Hallelujah. And if you don't have that identity, because you haven't put your faith and trust in the Lord, you can do that today. You can do that today. Paul said, today is the day of salvation. You don't tarry. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We live in a time where the threat of nuclear war is very real. You just don't know how crazy someone could be. But you can have assurance that if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, make him your Savior. He's the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and he has ransomed you. He can call you by name if you would just bow your knee. Bend your knee now. And if you breathe your last breath, you will enter into his presence right then and there. It took a little while for the thief on the cross to understand it, and then he recognized it. He's the Son of God. Remember me. Remember me. Faith and trust today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for your word, Lord. The example that you, Lord Jesus, have given us throughout your scripture for the times in which we're in, Lord. I know there's times where we feel isolated and in that isolation chamber, Lord, but you are there with us. The enemy wants us to think that we're forsaken, and we're not. You will see us through, just like you saw the boys through the fire, as we learned last week, Lord. Give us the opportunity to share the hope that you've given us this week, Lord, as others are watching. You're the way maker, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen and amen. You're dismissed.